It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Mark Yeagy. Welcome to another edition of the Wealth Architect Podcast. I'm so glad you're here. We've got a really cool guest today. He's a top 1% national franchise broker, investor, author, international speaker specializing in the area that he calls non-food franchising. Coming from a franchise background, one part of my life, I can certainly appreciate the concept of franchising. And having served as the president of an Inc. 500 franchise system and now as a multi-brand franchisee, he's uniquely positioned to educate others on franchising and franchise selection. So he serves as the CEO of a company called FranBridge Consulting, and he's helped thousands of entrepreneurs and investors explore business ownership and investment opportunities in the area. Without further ado, let's just bring him on. I think we're going to have a really fun conversation. John Ostenson, welcome, John.
Mark, thanks for having me. Looking forward to our discussion.
Yeah. So how did you kind of get going in this franchise business? And then I'd like to kind of move into what are the real benefits of franchising? I'm sure that's probably like the top question you answer because it's pretty obvious, but I'd love to hear about it from you.
Absolutely. No, you know, like so many of your listeners, my background, you know, was in the corporate world and spent many years grinding, but, you know, had a great experience, very thankful for it. And, you know, just around 7-8 years ago, I decided to leave a public company for a private company. For me, that was kind of this one small step into a more entrepreneurial environment. Had the opportunity to step into leadership for Shelf Genie franchise system. Shelf Genie is custom pull-out shelving for your kitchens and pantries. And we'd built up a great franchise system across the country and had the opportunity to serve as their president. And for me, that was the light bulb moment where I got to see all these different backgrounds all around the country that came together. And we provided them with a path to business ownership. And I saw, you know, nothing's ever easy and I won't pretend like it is, but we got to see the freedom that they experienced, you know, the joy of, you know, building their own business. You know, some of them had exits along the way. And so for me, that was the light bulb moment. I ended up partnering with the founder of Shelf Genie. We spun off. We've invested in franchises ourselves on the franchisee side. I've also had other partners. I'm also invested in franchises myself just individually as well. So I have sat on both sides of it. And, you know, we've got good people who run the businesses for us and allows me to spend the majority of my time helping others do the same. And so that brings me to what I do today.
Yeah. I want to go into that, but it brings me to a question first. And that is, you know, so many people, and those of you who are listening and watching, you know, that if you want to be an entrepreneur, you've got to quit maybe the corporate world or something that you want to do to pursue your passion. But what most people do is they end up pursuing two passions. They end up being, you know, like, let's say they're a chef and they want to become a really good chef. So they start their own business and now they're a chef and a business owner. And so they work really hard and maybe they're not good at being the business owner. They're just really good at, you know, cooking food. And so they kind of do themselves a disservice. What kind of things does a franchise do to make those people happy? Like you said, at the top of the call where you got to see firsthand what people were able to do with their lives.
Yeah. And you see such a wide variety. You know, people oftentimes aren't pursuing their passion. Their passion may be, hey, I want to make money and be able to live life on my terms and not build someone else's empire, but build my own. You know, oftentimes that's their true passion when you get down to it. And then they have interests and hobbies along the way. Sometimes those fit in, sometimes they don't. But no, with franchising, you know, I like to say it sounds cliche, but you start on third base. You know, you step into a system that's been proven out. There's a road to profitability. It's all about going out and executing it. You're not scratching your head saying, is there something here? Can it be profitable? Is there a product market fit? You've got that franchisor on the sidelines. That's essentially your business coach. And you know, the better you do, the better they do. So a good franchisor, and just like anything, they're not all created equal. That's where we help our clients identify the right ones. But you know, but they're going to be coaching you. You're going to have other franchisees in other markets that are living the same thing day in, day out. So you're, you know, and you're exchanging best practices. You're in business for yourself, but you're not all by yourself. And I think that's really comforting to people. And yeah, you know, then there's little benefits of franchising, whether it be, you know, on the supply chain side for goods or even services where you can buy in bulk, work on the franchisor, they're operating from a marketing playbook that has a large data set that's been tested in other markets. You're able to optimize your marketing spend as well. And, you know, and I'm happy to get into kind of what the exits look like, but it's been proven out that exits and franchising are more attractive than non-franchises just for a variety of different reasons. So, I will say franchising is not right for everyone. Some people are too entrepreneurial. They want to put their thumbprints all over the thing. But I'd say for the vast majority, we found that it is franchising is a better path to business ownership.
Wow. And so when you call it non-food franchising, let's go into that. Let's dive into what that means. You mentioned shelving and closets, but what other things would you be exposed to?
Yeah, non-food franchising, which is the title of my book. You know, I've just found when I say franchise, people think fast food. And yet when you look at, the opportunities out there, I'd say there's 4,000 franchise brands in the U.S., give or take. You take out food, you take out lodging, which I think hotels are another animal too that we don't necessarily touch in a big way. That narrows the market down, you know, by roughly half. And so what makes up the other half of the market? It's things like home and property services, all different niches within that $600 billion umbrella. It's things like automotive, health and wellness, fitness. You know, we don't do as much in fitness as we used to, but we still do some. It's businesses that support areas like kids, pets, the aging population, you know, all these different areas that you wouldn't necessarily think about out of the gate. And probably 90% of our clients don't know what they're looking for until it's right in front of them. And so if they come in with an open mind, it is kind of fun to see their light bulb moment when they say, wait a minute, I could see myself getting into that opportunity. So it's a wide variety of different industries. We love exposing our clients to these different opportunities. And I will finish by saying, you know, I have total respect for the food guys. That is not an easy way to go in some cases, but, but we need them, we support them. And it's just for my clients, I think that there's better options out there.
All right. So you mentioned your clients, and I totally get what you're saying. What is a client? Is like a client somebody that's looking to make some passive income from, you know, having some investment money sitting around? Or is it somebody that just wants to be in business? Or, you know, tell us a little bit more about your client. Who is that?
Yeah, you know, entrepreneurs and investors from their 20s all the way up to 60s, I'd say majority of our business is probably those in their 30s to 50s. In some cases, they are looking to leave the corporate world maybe and make the jump into full-time business ownership. In a lot of cases, they're looking to keep their day job, or maybe they're an existing business owner. They've got responsibilities already. They're looking to get something going on the side. Again, nothing's ever easy. I don't want to sugarcoat it, but it is very common. I'd say more than half of our clients actually put a manager in place day one to run the business. The buck still stops with them. They're the owner, but in franchising, you do have that franchisor on the sidelines that your manager can go to as a resource day in, day out from a technical standpoint. It takes some of the burden off of you in the day-to-day operations. So I'd say about 2/3 of our clients are what we call semi-passive or semi-absentee, where they put the manager in place. They're still involved, just not running it day to day. And then 1/3 of our clients are what we call owner operator, where they are running the business. And oftentimes, Mark, their path forward and their vision is, hey, let's run this for a period of time, then replace myself, you know, with a manager, and then move on to that next thing. So we do see a lot of clients that build out this portfolio of businesses over time that either have synergies or maybe they serve to diversify from each other.
Interesting. I have a bit of a past in some franchising, and what I noticed in that and in franchises, at least in the food business that I'm aware of, like a Subway or something like that, you weren't really able to make a huge living on owning one. So you ended up owning, if you were an investor, you wanted to own multiple sites, you know, maybe 5 or 10 or 20 different units and have consolidated management, but let each of them add that profit to you after you have somebody managing it and they get paid to make that income. Is that the same kind of thing that you're talking about doing? Or can somebody, because we have a lot of 7- and 8-figure investors that listen to our podcast and watch, and they're probably wondering, okay, listen, if it throws off $100,000 a year, that's interesting, but it's not that interesting. But I'm looking to make, you know, $500,000 a year as an example. How can, let's speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, no, juice has to be worth the squeeze if you're putting the effort into it. And, so some clients of ours will go after 10 locations and buy the rights to those and kind of scale up over time. And that may in itself get you to the numbers you want to hit. Others say, hey, let's start out with 3 or 4 locations. And sometimes that's a physical retail customer facing location. In some businesses, it may not be a physical location, maybe more of a territory of 300,000 in population, let's say, if it's more of a service-based business. You know, but very common, I'd say probably 1/3 of our clients will buy 1 location, 1/3 will buy 3, and then 1/3 will buy more than 3. But again, oftentimes they are building out that portfolio and let's say hedging a little bit in that, I do believe that first investment, whatever you do that first time around is going to help inform what you do after that. And so sometimes the thinking is, what's a good starting point? Maybe it's a more straightforward business that we can scale up and then move on to that next thing. You know, a lot of our clients are, you know, pretty heavy lifting investors. You know, many are not, many are. And probably 75% of them invest in real estate as well. And a very common theme I'm hearing these days, which, you know, I personally invest in real estate as well. I'm well diversified, you know, and I'm seeing it firsthand. There are fewer good deals to be had in the market right now. There's still some out there, but there are fewer. And so as a result, you know, let's balance out that alternative asset piece of our portfolio, maybe through business ownership or through another business on top of what we currently have.
Wow. Okay. So let's just summarize real quickly, because you covered a lot of ground there really quickly. I like how you said starting on third base. So that kind of gives the idea that, look, somebody doesn't have to go there and figure out an entire business model, especially if they're new. And so you get to start with somebody on third base. And you got a third base coach standing right there with you, right? Helping you to decide, you know, what right moves are proper for your business in your particular situation. And you have to give something up for that, right?
Yeah. No, with franchising, you're paying a franchise fee up front, and then you're paying an ongoing royalty, usually 5-7% of revenues, what it shakes out to be. And the question you want to ask in your exploration process early on is, hey, besides the initial training and maybe the supply chain, what innovation are you bringing to the table? What's going to be the value going forward to justify this royalty stream that I'm paying? And so, you know, that's always a great question to ask. And we kind of encourage our clients to, you know, really dig deep on that piece to make sure it justifies the investment. Again, I'd say in a lot of cases, you know, what you're getting for that funding, you would be paying for elsewhere if you weren't in franchising. So, you know, I think it's just interesting to kind of lay it out and understand kind of what your options are.
Wow. All right. The other thing you said is there's like 4,000 different brands out there, which I find fascinating. I also find it fascinating that a franchisor is willing to do this for 5-7%. Right. Yeah. So I guess they don't have to do a huge amount of work and they just get to scale it and they get 5-7% off the top. But to me, that's seems like a low amount of money, but depending on how much work you have to do, it's a good business model on their side. All right. So that's kind of the summary. Now, let me ask you this question. What can go wrong?
Yeah, absolutely. No, you know, franchising, you know, 92% of franchises are still in business after 5 years is what the large data shows. We've only had one client that's no longer still in business. And there were some learnings that came out of that that I kind of bring into our other client situations. But even if 92% are still in business, you know, some are performing well, some are not. I look back at my experience when I was head of Shelf Genie. We had owners all across North America in similar markets. Why did some outperform others? Mm-hmm. Well, this sounds cliche, but our top performers were the ones that followed the system the closest. They didn't come in and pretend to be the smartest guy in the room and say, hey, I used to be a marketing executive. I know what I'm doing more than your marketing team does. You know, we see that sometimes. I think having a degree of humility helps you. What else could go wrong? I mean, obviously, you know, during COVID, you know, that shut down fitness. I mean, there's some macro things that can happen. You know, but you look at how the franchisors in those sectors supported their franchisees during that time, and a lot of them really stood up and really stepped up to the plate. You know, what could go wrong? A lot of it comes down to people. You know, just like any business, franchise is a business. It's a people thing. You know, if you are putting a manager in place, you've got to align your incentives correctly. You've got to have someone that you trust, you know, in that spot. And if you don't, you're going to have to replace them. And that's where the headaches come in.
Yeah. But why wouldn't anybody want to follow the system if they've invested in it and they've got all this expertise that has already gone out there before them and made all the mistakes? I don't get it. Why would they do that?
People. We all have some experience. We all have some baggage that we bring in. There are areas that I probably think that I'm smarter than the next guy in. And what I find is when I come in with an open mind and the degree of humility, things usually shake out better. So I ask the same question. If you're paying to be a part of a franchise system, why wouldn't you want to participate? And, you know, with the franchise, it's so much more than the brand. I know oftentimes when we think about food, we think about the brand. And you know, in some industries, that's really important. I look at the $53 billion a year insulation industry. Yeah. Well, most people couldn't name one or two brands in insulation. It's this highly fragmented space. And if you come in, it's much more than the brand. It's the marketing. Sure. It's the technology that you have in place. It's the fact you answer the phone. I mean, the bar in that industry is pretty low. You answer the phone, you set appointments. It's not rocket science. But, you know, we love those kind of industries where it is, maybe non-sexy, non-trendy. You know, it's understandable, cash flowing. It's not going to go out of style. And maybe it's highly fragmented. So you're able to come in and really differentiate yourself and disrupt in some cases.
Wow. It really seems like now that you're talking about it, it's ripe for a roll-up opportunity in a lot of that fragmented parts of the business, and roll it up, IPO it, and now you've got a franchise in insulation of all things. Like, I never thought you'd be mentioning that one, but yeah. I could certainly see it in glass companies and door companies and, you know, basically those little mom and pops that are plumbers and things like that. There, you would think that there's a lot of fragmentation that you know, a franchising opportunity yeah. could work really well.
Yeah, you see pods or you see some Orange Theories. I mean, sometimes you do see those roll-ups. Private equity loves franchising. There's yeah. so much private equity activity, usually at the franchisor level, but they just love that oftentimes recurring royalty stream. They love different dynamics. And if they throw yeah. some strategic capital into it, they love that, you know, franchisors can scale pretty fast using yeah. essentially other people's funding that have skin in the game, that know their local markets, can really be a big win on that side as well.
Well, let's talk about that because, and then we'll start to kind of wrap up a little bit, but the funding would seem to be important. So let's say that I'm just a random guy, and I am, and I want to get into the shelf business, right? Is there funding available for me to start that business that's fairly easy to get, or is it something where I have to bring a whole big cash payment and finance the whole thing myself?
Yeah, no, very common. You know, while some clients use cash to get into these, you know, SBA loans are extremely common. And you know, there are SBA franchise friendly lenders out there that do loans all day for our clients. Mm-hmm. There's also the possibility of using what's called a ROBS program. If you've built up an IRA or 401k and, you know, you want to use that capital, it has to be with a previous employer, but there's a way to purchase the business through a ROBS program with your retirement account, essentially self-directed. That's very common. And of course, there are other means, whether it be a portfolio loan where you borrow against your brokerage account, something that I'm a big fan of, or HELOC. You know, there are a lot of different ways. And what I find at markets fascinating, it's the psychology around it. Some people love the idea of leverage, some don't. Some love the idea of using their retirement account, self-directing it. Others don't want to touch it. So it really isn't one size fits all, but there are different options. And I'd say from an investment standpoint, when you look at the all-in franchise fee, startup cost of working capital, certainly we have some opportunities that are north of $500,000, but a lot of what our clients are getting involved in is between 150 and maybe 400. Quite a few opportunities falling in that space.
And I know you can't really be pinned down on an answer, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. So you invest, you know, $150,000, $200,000 in a franchise. After all is said and done, what kind of ROIs can you kind of expect?
Yeah, of course, they can be across the board, but I'll point to an example. You know, last year, we did 9 placements in a gutter business. This is gutter installs, you know, primarily it's $6 billion market, highly fragmented.
I just spent a ton of money on gutters, so I get it. And I probably know the company you're talking about.
Everyone from doctors to Wall Street attorneys to insurance guys. I mean, we had all different types of backgrounds. But with this business, you're all an investment for 2 territories, which is kind of what most people are doing, would be $200,000. Wow. Let's call it 225, just to round up, but right around 200. Not every franchise system offers numbers like this, but yeah. This shows you what some can do. Their average franchisee does $1.7 million in revenue.
Hey, it's Mark Yeagy, author of this book on Covered Calls, here to tell you about my cash flow machine trading program that's designed to show you how I make safe, reliable income. Now, I shoot for 2 to 4% a month of income in my portfolio, and we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a mastermind community. And the best part of it is that it only takes me about 20 minutes a week, maybe to an hour to implement. Now, while 2 to 4% a month may not sound like much, I show you exactly how I took my IRA from $111,000 to over $700,000 in just 23 months without huge risk. Yes, I got a little lucky, I gotta say, but I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io, or better yet, go to this link to get access to videos and masterclasses that explain the entire process, the risks and rewards even more. See you there.
Wow. The prior year, there were $1.2 million. So I love seeing that system-wide comp growth, but 1.7 they're doing that at a 27% bottom line EBITDA margin.
No kidding.
That puts you at the ballpark, let's call it 500,000 return. Now, they're able to ramp up pretty fast. They've had owners do $1 million in the first year. You know, some will do 600,000, 800,000. Yeah, the 1.7 would probably be a mature franchisee that's, you know, several years into it. But if you're kicking off, call it 500,000 on an initial investment of 200,000,
yeah,
you're playing with house money, and that's obviously a pretty attractive ROI.
Yeah, that's easy to see how some people could take that risk, because the return on that is unbelievable.
And again, I'll say that that's not every franchise system has those kind of economics, but some do.
Yeah. Yeah. So I can see that in the services business and in the non-food business for sure. I can even see it in some of the food businesses, but we don't have to get into all that stuff. So tell us a bit more about what you do and how you help people and where people can find you. Let's start with what you do and how you help people first.
Yeah, it's entirely free to work with us. We're funded by the franchise companies when placements happen, very much like an executive search or real estate type model.
Really?
Okay. Nice, clean model, which I love. Our clients are never paying us a nickel. For us, we're affiliated with IFPG, largest brokerage in North America. We work with over 600 different franchise companies and all the different development groups. What I've done, Mark, is I've put together a really streamlined process where, you know, if a client, you know, comes out to our website, franbridgeconsulting.com, which I'm sure will be in the show notes. You know, first off, download a free copy of our book, Non-Food Franchising. I think that's a great place to start. If you'd like to take a next step and actually get on a call with me, you know, I'll have my assistant reach out and schedule a time with you, which you can indicate that on our website. But from there, it's, you know, getting to know you and then getting into the opportunities. You know, you just come back about a week later after that first call with, if I'm in your shoes, here are the 10 or so opportunities in your market that I want to be looking at, and here's color on each of those. From there, your goal would be to narrow it down to 3 or 4. We make those introductions to the companies. They take you through a process, a series of calls to really expose you to the business and let you talk to other franchisees in the system and really get you as much information as possible over the span of a number of weeks. And we like to serve as a sounding board during that process and hold our clients' hands and bring in funding resources or legal resources or, you know, what have you. We have different partners that we can bring in as well. So really streamlined process. And we've seen it produce great results.
Wow. And you don't seem that scary to talk to. So, I think you start with your book and then you book a call with you and you can walk us through the whole process and it's not there's not a cost. That's amazing. All right. So we will have your links in the show notes, but let's just go ahead and say it in case somebody's driving, don't have a chance to click on that link. Maybe they can remember it, but where can people go to find you?
Yeah. Come out to our website, franbridgeconsulting.com. That's F-R-A-N, Fran, like franchise, franbridgeconsulting.com. And I would love to help out and connect.
Wow. Super. Opened my eyes to a lot of really cool things about franchising, especially in the non-food area that I didn't know. So I want to thank you for your time, your wisdom, and being on the Wealth Architect podcast. And what I always say to all my listeners and viewers is never give up your power and your health, your wealth, or your time. So see you next time, everybody, on the Wealth Architect podcast. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.